Hello, and thank you for taking the time to tune in to Edie's Susty Talks, our short but sweet podcast audio interviews designed to keep us all a bit more connected and informed about the world of sustainability and climate action, even if we're pressed for time. I'm delighted to have on the call with me this afternoon Chantal Zegers, who is Vice Mayor for Rotterdam, to talk about the region's energy transition ahead of the World Energy Congress that is being held there later this month. So thank you so much for your time. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. And I'm glad to be here.
No, glad to have you on. It's always great to talk to local leaders about the energy transition and about the whole net zero transition, really, because we know how important this is for translating those big global climate goals into things that are tangible for local people and businesses. So I'm sitting over here in the UK, so I guess this obvious starting point would be, yeah, it'd be great to be educated a bit about what the energy mix in Rotterdam looks like and how the energy transition is taking shape.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to talk about it because Rotterdam is the second city in the Netherlands, but it's the industrial heart of the Netherlands. It's like 650,000 inhabitants, a huge harbour, close to the sea. So we're a city in a delta, industrial city in a delta, and a city that's also the poorest city of the Netherlands. So we have a lot of challenges here, but we are adamant to make our city more sustainable and healthy and also more vital. But when we talk about the energy mix in Rotterdam, as you were asking me, there's a lot we have to get this transition further developed, because it's good to tell you that the energy mix of Rotterdam has been changing since the city was rebuilt in the aftermath of the Second World War. So I'm going back a little bit, because our city has been bombed during the Second World War. And in the 60s, we were already implementing a district heating network in the city center, and it has been gradually expanding throughout the metropolitan area. And today we are expanding the search for more clean residual heat sources. So we're using the heat of the industry to get it out of and implement it in the sewer system. Besides the industrial heating, we're also exploring geothermal or other local heat sources. And the Port of Rotterdam and the companies positioned there are transitioning towards more sustainable and future-proof alternatives. So there's a lot of transition taking place. And this transition will not only include electricity, but also more future-proof industry that's making the transition to sustainable hydrogen. So we have a lot of companies like Shell, MBP, Esso, you name it, and they all, like Shell, is building its largest hydrogen fabric for their own processes. And it's one of the largest hydrogen fabric installations that will be built. So for the electricity mix, we still depend on coal power plants, unfortunately, but we are shutting our two coal plants down in 2030. And that's why Rotterdam is also stepping up its realization of 250 megawatts of wind power as well, and 3.2 square kilometers of solar panels. And we want to achieve this by 2026. So that's already nearby. But the harbour has its big challenges for industry, but we are facing it with hydrogen, solar and wind energy.
Yeah, it sounds like, as you say, there's definitely a lot of will from the businesses that are on the port and in the harbour. Having been there myself, you can see that firsthand. And I know that there's a lot of will in local policy making. But do there need to be some changes to achieve these ambitions in terms of things like national policy reforms, planning reforms? What else do we need besides the will and the finance from the businesses?
Yeah, one of the biggest challenges is not only in Rotterdam, but in the Netherlands in general that we face is this transition in electricity, because electricity is the huge source we need. But we have grid congestion, which is really hitting us now. and our ambitions regarding mobility, but also housing and industry, but also economic growth, are becoming more and more dependent on accessibility to clean energy. And as a result, the electricity grid in the various regions in the Netherlands, but also port of Rotterdam, is currently coping with restrictions from grid operators regarding new or larger grid connections in affected areas. So, for instance, I can't build a flat with an elevator close to the grid congestion is in areas with grid congestion. We need batteries or other solutions to get this housing started. In Rotterdam, we don't face it that much, but in other parts of the Netherlands, it's huge. It's more a huge problem with grid congestion. So we are looking for energy hubs to get this better batteries, smart charging for cars. But we need to increase also the system's flexibility so that not everybody is using electricity at the same time. So we need to change the way we use the electricity grids with variable renewable sources such as wind and solar. And we must adapt demand towards supply. It sounds simple, but it's really fundamentally different than we used to do in our old energy system. One of the ways in which we stimulate innovative, flexible solutions is our Smart Energy Systems Subsidy Program, in which we support startups in scaling their value propositions, for example, storage, conversion, or flexible demand.
Yeah, flexibility is something the UK is struggling with as well. I say struggling, but National Grid is doing some really interesting trials there. So I'm glad you've mentioned efficiency and flexibility, because sometimes there is a big focus just on the generation, I think, and not so much on how and where the energy is used. So it's really great to cover that.
Yeah, and I also believe strongly in energy hubs and cooperation between companies and windmills, so they can get their own supplies without charging the grid too much. Solar panels changing in cooperations. So I think there are different small solutions, but it's also behavior and using less energy. That's also very important. But it's a difficult task we're facing.
Of course, I'm sure that no one's underestimating that. And taking into account how challenging all of this, and given the, you know, the lack of time we have until the 2030 climate goals, and then even 2050 is now on the horizon. The World Energy Congress is being held in Rotterdam from April 22nd to 25th. So for those who aren't familiar with the event, it'd be great to hear a little bit more about what it is and how you and your team are preparing.
Yeah, we are preparing for the World Energy Congress. The theme is humanizing energy for people and planet. And I strongly believe in the humanizing factor, because energy, we need it for our daily lives. Energy is a basic necessity in everyone's life. And I think that's a focus point we should address more. Instead of only the technological part, we should really assess the social part of it. Just talked about behavior, companies' behavior in using energy, but also behavior and the necessity for energy for people. And as I told you, Rotterdam has a large majority of inhabitants of Rotterdam are poor, not very wealthy. So that's a challenge in itself. And we need to really invest in possibilities for the Rotterdammers so that they can participate in energy policy, but also have enough money, because there is a problem. Our energy prices are really high in the Netherlands. So people, they don't use their warming systems anymore at home, just putting blankets on and everything just to save money, because energy is so expensive. And I think that's really a terrible thing in a developed country, is the Netherlands, that we are not able to provide good housing for people with enough warmth, good way. So besides the climate goals we have, we also have a social goal that people really can still use energy in a manner that's normal for life. So this affordable and just transition for our citizens is really one of my focus points and our focus points in Rotterdam. And especially after the war in the invasion in Ukraine, the prices have been rising rapidly, probably in a lot of countries. So the prices are high and they don't have the room in their minds to make decisions for sustainability. So we are putting a lot of emphasis in getting local and getting close to people. So the help is close by, and we give subsidies. We have people working in homes of other people to make repairs, to isolate the housing, but also help in putting solar panels on their roofs, but also have subsidies to change from gas to electricity in cooking. We have cookbooks for electric cooking, everything to make it really tangible and really close by, so people really can participate in this energy transition and not make it complex, but make it easy. But also that people trust that there will be help in this transition. So personal and close contact is very important. So besides financial help or technical help, you also have social skills to really do it together.
That's a really strong message there for a just transition to hear, which we're hearing more about. And I understand that World Energy Congresses have been going on for 100 years. And I know that the past couple of years, as you say, will have been particularly hot button events with the price crisis going on. But we have listeners who work in sustainability and look at things on a global level, maybe aren't lucky enough to be invited to congresses, maybe haven't been. It'd be great to hear about how the stuff that you've talked about feeds into the rest of the calendar of international sustainability events, particularly how it can follow up on COPs, which we cover and follow quite intensely.
Yeah, just about the World Energy Congress, it's the longest established energy event there is, as you said, 100 years. And in this event, there are more than 200 ministers, 7,000 international energy stakeholders. So it's companies, it is governments, small companies, but also large ones, of course, university. It is like all these people together that really make energy transition possible. We have round tables, congress talks, showcases. We really want to take people also out. It's not only in a building, but we really take people out of the building just to see what's happening on the streets and in houses and in companies, to really showcase startups, but also how we do it in practice. So I really believe that the big story and the big technological stories we have to combine with the smaller steps we make locally, with people, with startups, with innovation. So when you showcase all these things, the big stories, the big companies with the smaller local things, I think really believe that to bring them together, bridge the gap. And the large one can help the small ones, but the small ones can inspire the large ones. So that's what I'm hoping that is going to take place in this World Energy Congress in Rotterdam, because in Rotterdam we have a really mentality of doing things and not talking about it too much. So that's what I really like to do here. Just showcase what we are doing and let's get inspired. And we can learn from others. So maybe that's what I'm hoping for as well.
Great. Well, I have my fingers crossed for you that you have several days of fruitful discussions and international inspiration and collaboration resulting from the Congress. But Chantal, I know you're super busy preparing for the event, so I'll let you get going. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.